This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I missed getting the key in the lock. Oh, I've got to get some gas too. Okay, so there's going to be 3 interruptions of the podcast here. I knew there was going to be 2 because I have to drop off a couple of books, but I need gas. So I'm going to stop in here and get some gas, and then I have to deliver 2 books, and then we're home. And then we're heading out to Eureka Springs. So we are, we've had vacation this last week, and we've just done mini vacations, which have been kind of fun. So we ran up to Jefferson City Friday morning, Friday noonish. We took off, actually a little later, 1-ish, 2-ish, 3-ish, 4-ish, sometime in there. Ran up to Jefferson City, and then that Saturday, a week ago, we went to the state penitentiary there and had the tour of the old penitentiary. That was very, very interesting. We had an excellent tour guide named Larry, who was on the maintenance crew there for years and years, had lots of stories to tell. So that was fun. We went to the state capitol on Sunday, had a quick tour. We were the only ones on the tour, so that was fun. And it was about an hour long. It was very interesting. One of the things that they did there that was really very interesting was paintings that were optical illusions. And she called it a 3-point perspective. But there's another technique involved that I'm going to have to do some research on. Basically, the painting looks different whether you're standing on one or the other side of it. If you're just standing in the middle looking at it, you know, it kind of looks one way. But then as you move to one side, it appears that the painting reorients itself. It's a really interesting effect. So we'll talk more about that after I get some gas in my car. Okay, got gas in the car. So these paintings, for instance, one was the painting of a bridge being constructed. Or it was a bridge. Maybe it was a bridge. And if you'd stand on the, what would be to me, the left side of the painting, as you're facing the painting, if you stand on the left side, it looked like the bridge went all the way across the painting to the other edge of the painting. But as you walked down the length of the painting, you'd get about halfway or so, and all of a sudden that vanishing point where the bridge was going into the distance started changing and moving up to where by the time you got to the right side of the painting, it looked like the end of the bridge was actually in the middle of the painting, not on the right side of the painting. It was very interesting. They did it a couple of different ways, but that was very, very interesting. And as I said, she called it a 3-point perspective, but I looked up 3-point perspective, and that's just a way of drawing, not necessarily a way of creating that optical illusion. So I have to do a little more research and see how that's done, because if I can make that work, something like that might be interesting to do for a cover. If I can get the pieces all, if I can figure out what the mechanics are of it, that might be interesting to do at some point. So anyway, so that was fun. That was Sunday. So Saturday at the penitentiary, Sunday at the Capitol. Then we kicked around a little bit, and then we came, Oktoberfest was going on. We took a little time to go see Oktoberfest. Which that was interesting because somewhere I kind of knew that Nett had told me that Oktoberfest was going on, but the next morning after we got into the hotel, I threw on my shoes to go for a little walk run, and I got on the street that the hotel was on. I just turned left and started walking up, and I saw the 2 of these gentlemen sitting there, and there was a sign about parking for the special event. And I said, oh, is there a special event? And he was like, yeah, it's Oktoberfest. So our hotel was literally like two or three streets away from Oktoberfest. So we made a little time, walked around there a little bit. So that was fun. And then we dropped back home, did a load of laundry or so on Monday. Then we headed down to Branson. We were down in Branson until Thursday. Just, you know, got one of those vacation rental places where they'll rent out their condos they're trying to sell you for a couple of days. And so we did that. And then we got back in last night. We had a life group meeting last night. Or small group meeting. I don't know what we're calling them. Small group meeting last night. And did a little more laundry. And now we're getting ready to head down to Eureka Springs. So my first delivery. I'm at my first delivery. I'll be right back. Well, sadness. It looks... Rats. Rats. It looks like I didn't get stuff turned on. Sadness. Sadness. After my second stop. Oh, sadness. Oh, sadness. Okay, I will synopsize quickly because I have to go. I didn't get stuff turned on after my second stop. Hopefully... I'll just have to see what's here. I'll have to listen. Anyway, so I think I told the story of the shop and the shop clearing out. I'm not sure what all that was about, but, you know, it's interesting in the spiritual world. This week, I just come across an article of the fact that we've lost another piece that may or may not be an important piece. It feels integral to us, but, you know, in the future, it may not be. You know, we've already got situations where you can take a young person and have them look at a rotary phone and they don't know what a rotary phone is. They don't know how to use it. Or you can have them look at an analog clock and they don't know how to tell time with an analog clock, or they don't know how to read cursive handwriting. This article I came across this week, and if I've said this before, I apologize. This article I came across this week was called File Not Found, and it starts off with Catherine Garland, an astrophysicist, started seeing the problem in 2017. She was teaching an engineering course, and her students were using simulation software to model turbines for jet engines. She laid out the assignment clearly, but student after student was calling her over for help. They were all getting the same error message. The program couldn't find their files. Garland thought it would be an easy fix. She asked each student, where had they saved their project? Could it be on their desktop? Maybe in a shared drive? But over and over, she was met with confusion. What are you talking about? Multiple students inquired. Not only did they not know where their files were saved, they didn't understand the question. And it's just a paradigm shift is what's happened. So students come in, they want something, they search on Google, there it is, they click on it, they go. If they come back to anything, well, it's going to be in their most recent files list. They click on it. They go. They don't know where it's saved. They don't understand the concept of a directory structure because everything's just out there in the ether and just responds to them when they need it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. But as long as you've got a good search function, you're fine. So I had also wondered, just before I was going to wrap things up, what would be the technology that would be as confusing to me and needing to be explained by my grandkids as technology in general was to my parents and needing to be explained by me. And my first guess at this point is going to be some sort of brain implant. I I don't think I'm going to get a brain implant when they're available. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. If it's non-invasive, maybe. But that's kind of a oxymoron. So anyways, I do need to get going because we're heading to Eureka Springs. All is well. God is good. Have a great weekend. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.